This week's Something Wild podcast is sponsored by Pelletieri Associates, an award-winning team of landscape architects celebrating over 30 years of land planning, fine gardening, masonry, poolscapes, and maintenance services throughout New England, and a proud supporter of NHPR.
Some sounds in nature really command your attention.
Whoa! That's a rattlesnake.
It sure is. I'm sure you know they're not aggressive.
Yes, of course, but that sound, man, we've got to talk about just hearing that sound.
Well, first we have to introduce ourselves.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm Dave Anderson from the Forest Society.
And I'm Chris Martin from New Hampshire Audubon, and this is Something Wild.
And when you hear that, it elicits a hardwired innate fear response.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it's supposed to do.
That rattle roughly translates to, hey, watch your step, mister.
It's an alarm designed to stop trouble before it starts.
Okay, so when we say rattlesnake, people usually think out west or in the desert, but here at Something Wild, we try to focus on New Hampshire's natural history.
And today we're talking about eastern timber rattlesnakes. That's a New Hampshire native species.
They occupied this landscape before it was even called New Hampshire.
And now there are as few as maybe 24 rattlesnakes left in the entire state.
So how did the populations decline and disappear?
The way I'm sure you'd expect. They were quite common during the time of the first European settlements, and colonists encountered them all the time.
Isn't that a timber rattlesnake depicted on the yellow Don't Tread on Me flag?
Yeah, and clearly the colonists saw them as fearsome creatures. And while they respected them, they were also intent on killing them.
So our perception of rattlesnakes has always been based on fear. They really don't have the best PR, do they?
And the thing is, eastern timber rattlesnakes are not a danger to us. We're a danger to them.
They're not as aggressive as people tend to think.
Not at all. They're forest dwellers, and they're camouflaged to look like a bunch of oak leaves.
They're typically motionless. What's called still hunters, which means large lumbering humans are not on the menu.
They prefer to eat shrews, chipmunks, and ground nesting songbirds, and they have some sophisticated biological adaptations. They can see motion, but they can also follow pheromone trails. That's what all that tongue flicking is about. They're smelling dinner. And they're pit vipers. They have specialized pits below each eye.
Basically infrared heat sensing organs.
Yeah, they actually see heat patterns, and they sense vibrations.
All designed to snag chipmunks.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not a tasty small rodent, rattlesnakes are pretty chill. They just try to mind their own business.
Pretty much.
Okay, so here's a question. Why in New Hampshire?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, they're cold-blooded reptiles. It's not that welcoming a place for animals whose body temperatures are determined by the weather.
They avoid cold weather.
So what? They must, like, hibernate for 10 months of the year.
Yep, pretty much. From October to April, they remain underground. They seek refuge below the frost line.
And that can be 8 to 10 feet deep or more. An ideal rattlesnake hibernaculum is a dry place with a steady temperature.
So it's the summer months when they're most active, from about May to September, and the females stay close to their ledges, but the males travel further afield. Unfortunately, one of the best places to find food and warmth is near roads.
Blacktop roads are often the warmest places, and that's certainly attractive to reptiles.
Cars pose more modern risks to rattlesnakes. When you're driving, it's not easy to see a black New Hampshire snake basking on the paved road.
Well, meanwhile, back at the ledge, are the females incubating eggs?
Well, no. Unlike most reptiles, eastern timber rattlesnakes are viviparous.
Rattlesnakes give birth to live young.
And that brings up another challenge that rattlers face. They don't breed every year.
Really?
Yeah, and typically, they breed only every 4 to 5 years. And their nutritional status has to be just right.
Okay, so they only breed when...
Oh, you're going to love this. They breed when there's an abundance of prey.
Well, that makes sense.
And it gets better. When there's plenty of white-footed mice and chipmunks.
It's thanks to a bumper acorn crop. Oak trees rule!
Yes, acorns drive rattlesnake success.
So when you have a peak autumn acorn crop, the next spring and summer will bring a peak rodent cycle.
And the next year after that, a peak rattlesnake birth year.
Continuing to prove my theory that trees rule the world. And if there are other animals or plants that you think we should get to know a little better, email somethingwild@nhpr.org.
Or you can ask us for some help with your ophidiophobia.
Fear of snakes.
Or any other irrational fear you may have about nature. I'm Chris Martin.
And I'm Dave Anderson. Something Wild is a joint production of New Hampshire Audubon, the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests, and NHPR. I love this. This is my favorite game at Something Wild. So we got a couple of pickups. Page one, draw a breath.
Do page one.
And then he says,
Dave.
Oh!
I want to change one of your lines.
Okay.
You know, It roughly translates to watch your step.
Hey there, I'm Sam Evans Brown. If you like losing yourself in the wild, I think you'll like another one of NHPR's podcasts, Outside In. We explore the interaction between the natural world and the humans that use it. That's all of us, by the way. We've done stories about epic White Mountain trail crews, how human hormones are derived from soybeans, how to navigate the ocean without a compass, and sometimes we just talk weird bugs, stinky trees, and other cool stuff. Check out Outside In and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you download podcasts.